Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome, you guys. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're super excited for you to be here. Marty and I have been spending a lot of time on the road. And so we thought today we would talk about a spring tune-up for your pets, right? What do we need to do in the springtime? Here it is, beautiful everywhere around the country. So what are we going to do, Marty?
Well, the most important thing is to not overdo it, because the tendency is to just, you know, it's finally spring. It's finally nice out. I'm going to go garden all day. I'm going to go on a long hike. I'm going to cut the grass. I'm going to clean the garage. I'm going to do all this stuff that turns out to not really be conducive to not being physically conditioned for it. And it could be you. It could be your dogs.
Yes. Yes. I think that's the important part. Many of us have to ease into that spring tune-up. And when you Netflix through the winter, you can't just marathon into the spring.
Well, you can, but it doesn't turn out to be.
It doesn't turn out so good. No, here I am, living proof of that.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So the other thing that we see, and we were talking about this earlier off air, different bugs come in the spring than necessarily we see the rest of the year. So, you know, we talked back a month or two ago about pests and bugs and critters and all that, but there's different ones in the spring and different things that we need to do for our pets in the spring than during the rest of the time.
Yeah, I was out at the grandkids this weekend and I had the hat with the mosquito netting on it because the gnats were terrible. They live in the north woods of Wisconsin and the gnats and the black flies are just wicked right now. But they've also got times of the year that the mosquitoes would carry you away. So like you said, there's a variety of things that we have to be concerned about. And some of the products that we use on our pets are better at repellency than others. So we really can't just go out and get the deep woods off with the DEET in it and spray it on our dogs, because that's not safe for them. So if we're looking at what we want to do for preventives, for protection, there's some pretty nice sprays out there. Sprays and the topical flea and tick medications often do have a repellency effect. Like the Vectra 3D has a wonderful effect of repellency. 3D means it has three different chemicals in it that protect your pet. And one of them creates this hot foot effect, so that if the pests land on your pet, they are not going to stay on because it's uncomfortable for them. Like they start dancing around, they're off. So there's some really good products out there. So the pills, although the pills like Bravecto, Simparica, Credelio, and NexGard do a good job of killing fleas and ticks once they're attached or bite you, it doesn't do anything for repellency. So if you're in an area where the bugs are really bad, then you may want to do something different. Of course, time of the day makes a difference, because we know mosquitoes are crepuscular, meaning in the dawn and the dusk hours, and you know other bugs are out at different times. It can be pretty wicked. So you want to be careful. There is a no-see-um of some type that I can't tell you any more than it's called a no-see-um. But every year, the third week of May, we have 10, 12, 15 dogs that we get phone calls, photographs, appointments for, and they come in with these bites on their unhaired part of their skin, so usually on their belly, that look like a Target. I mean, looks like the Target logo for the store.
Yeah.
It has a red dot and then a red ring around it. And clients just freak out over it because it wasn't there and then it is, and it's pretty significant. The dogs don't really seem to notice it much, so it doesn't seem to be particularly itchy or uncomfortable for them, but it's a pretty noticeable lesion. So when you roll your dog over to scratch him on the belly and you see like three of these, you're like, oh my God, what is this? So we see it 1 week out of the year, and then we don't see it. It's the third week of May every year. So I can set my calendar to next week, I'm going to get a bunch of these phone calls.
No, CM week has arrived. Okay. Yeah. That's wild. And you mentioned the black flies there in northern Wisconsin. I know there's biting flies. There's all kinds of flies. So I like the idea of the Vectra, the topical. You mentioned a couple other products. Anything else that you specifically recommend for that sort of protection?
Yeah, Vectra seems to give us the best protection. Dr. Zella, who for me has a Bernese Mountain Dog, and when he puts Vectra on the dog and then he sits close to him, he can sit out in the evening and have a drink on the patio. If he's sitting close enough to the dog, the mosquitoes don't bite him because the dog has like this just giant shield around him. Now, he's a Bernese Mountain Dog, so he's, you know, he's bigger than your average dog, so his shield
it's a bigger shield than your Chihuahua. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. But your Chihuahua is probably on your lap. So that's not a bad thing either, because I'll tell you, his Bernese Mountain Dog is not. Yep. So there's definitely some protection that we can get from those things. So I like the Seresto collar. It's a good product. I like the pills. Like I said, the Prevecto, Credelio, Simparica, and NexGard, they're good. They're not safe for breeding dogs. So if you have a breeding dog, we have to have a different.
So the repellency of Vectra and some of those topicals, you say, is better than the pills. But that the pills are good, but they're not useful for breeding animals. Talk to me about questions where there might be seizure potential attached, because I know there's at least one of those that has that.
All four of the orals do have that tendency. They're all in the same drug class. So that's always a concern. If you have a dog that has a tendency to have seizures, seizure-prone dogs or seizure-prone breeds, you want to avoid the use of the pills. But the other topicals, so Frontline, Frontline Gold, Frontline Plus, Advantix, Advantage 2, you know, all those topical products do have some repellency. But in my humble opinion, the experience I've had with Vectra is that it gives us the best because it does have three chemicals in it that help to prevent those. And then we have the people who want to use, oh, well, I'm going to use a natural spray. I'm going to use this or I'm going to use that. And I'm like, well, natural doesn't mean safe. Natural means it comes from a plant. But so does digitalis growing in the foxglove plant. And that's toxic. So just because it says natural on the label doesn't mean that it's going to always be safe. So be thoughtful about what you're using. Know what your dog's health is. Know what part of the community you live in as far as the insects and arachnids. My son-in-law, who we're visiting, is an entomologist, so I have to be very specific that ticks are arachnids. They're not bugs. They are arachnids.
And they're spiders. I mean, this isn't really spider season, but spider bites. I mean, here where I am, we have brown recluse and black widows that can make a serious bite.
Yeah. So anything that has eight legs is an arachnid. So that's ticks and spiders. And then anything like six legs, three pairs, like fleas, that's a bug. So, you know, we kind of classify them all in this category, but they're really not. And there's a really wonderful website. It's called capsivet.com. So CAPSI is Companion Animal Parasite Council. And they have a whole lot of great information. So it's capsivet.com. And it has all kinds of information about what diseases are in your community, and you can drill down to your zip code of your neighborhood and see, and then you can ask them to send you a monthly email if you sign up for it. So you can see how many cases of Lyme disease or heartworm disease or feline leukemia or whatever happens to be in your area, you can start monitoring that so that seasonally you can pay attention. And if you're using a product that's not getting you the relief that you think you need, then you need to speak to your veterinary professionals about something else. And you can actually double up some of these products. You can use a topical and an oral. They're in different drug classes. They have different mechanisms of action. So you can use more than one, especially if you're in an area where it's bad. Like where I am sitting right now, the ticks are terrible. And literally my clients, if they aren't using the right tick and flea products, are picking ticks off their dogs every night and dropping them into a Coke can. So it's like a hobby to take the ticks, ticks off.
Yeah, I can remember working as a groomer when I was in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And so, folks, can I just share with you what Marty and I recommend you not do, which is not treat your pet for tick prevention and then bring it to your groomer for its annual haircut covered in ticks so that I can't actually shave the dog without shaving the ticks. May I beg you, beg to not do it.
Not recommended. Yeah, not recommended. So if you live in certain areas, you can utilize more than one product. And don't forget that tick bites are nasty because they carry a lot of diseases. And every single day at my practice, we are diagnosing multiple dogs with Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, and Ehrlichia. This isn't a once in a while thing. This is every single day. And everyone that comes in with these dogs that are positive say to me, well, I've never found a tick on my dog. It couldn't possibly have that disease. Well, A, the test is accurate. I'm telling you, the test is accurate. And B, if it wasn't there last year and it is there this year, sometime in the last 12 months, your dog has had one or more tick bites. And I'm telling you, if you have a Newfoundland, you're not going to find the ticks, man. Yeah, it's just not going to happen. Right. And we've had some very seriously ill dogs. We've had dogs die from Lyme nephritis. We've seen dogs that have gotten really, really sick. I almost lost a Bernese Mountain Dog a couple of weeks ago with a pyometra and low platelets from her anaplasmosis. We've lost pregnant dogs and non-pregnant dogs to Lyme nephritis. Lyme disease caused kidney failure. Mm. I mean, these are wicked diseases. So don't be messing around with this. Use your flea and tick products. And people are like, oh, well, I don't like that. I don't think it's safe. Well, it's not safe to be unprotected. And every single day I have to talk to clients about this. Every single day I have to send them a letter and say to them, now we're going to run a C6. And now we have to put your dog on doxycycline for 3 weeks. And then we have to have you come back in 6 months and check it again. And we have to monitor their kidney function. Please just don't. Just don't. Use the products.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I understand people have reluctance, certain breeds, certain whatever situations. But the reality check is the results of the diseases that you're trying to prevent are more serious than any potential side effects.
And I hear all this stuff about, well, my breed, blah, blah, blah. There hasn't been any indication that there is a breed-specific problem. So if you have the white-footed dogs, the border collies and the collies and the shelties and all those that have MDR1 problems, mm-hmm. we haven't seen an issue with that. If you have other breeds with other issues. Now, you know, I'm not going to say that there couldn't be some individual sensitivities, because there probably are. So if you know your dog doesn't react well to one, because some of the dogs, when you put the topical on, they get the heebie-jeebies. And I've actually had permethrins put on myself when my daughter was in kindergarten. We had scabies in the house. And so I've used those products. And I can tell you, when your dog gets the creepy crawly heebie-jeebies from applying some of those products, it feels really weird. I've been in that experience and it's unpleasant. Mm-hmm. So don't repeat it if it's not comfortable for your dog. Find a different product. But talk to your veterinary professional. There are many products on the market we have that are available. There's the collars, there's the pills, and then there's the topicals. So we have good ones, and probably in the next year or two we're going to see even more products coming to market that are going to give you another option as well, which I can't tell you about because we don't have the full information yet. But there will be more things coming. But talk to your vet and use the products. Do not fight with them on it. And please use them year-round, because year-round is really going to get you a better level of protection than if you stop it in the winter and then start it again. You don't get the blood levels. You don't get the same effect. So use it 12 months out of the year, because there are ticks. If it's a 40-degree day in January, nice afternoon, the ticks are out. I don't care that it's Wisconsin. I don't care that it's January. It's going to happen. Just telling you.
I hear you. And, you know, one of the things that we didn't prepare for, but crossed my mind, that is also emerging because it's spring in many parts of our country, snakes.
Yes, yes. And there are actually classes you can take to teach your dog to be snake averse. Yes. I think that's pretty cool. If you live in rattlesnake country, you probably should sign up for those classes. Where we live, we don't have any poisonous snakes, but they're still snakes.
Poisonous,
like the Indiana
snakes
Jones.
Are a real thing here on the West Coast, certainly in the South. Big chunks of the Midwest and the Rockies, so.
Yep, Indiana Jones, snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
Right? I personally am not a fan, but I think that snake aversion training is absolutely a thing. And talk to us about your feeling. Now, I know you're not in rattlesnake country, but talk to me about your feeling about the rattlesnake vaccine.
If I lived where there were rattlesnakes, I would seriously consider it. So again, speak to your veterinarian about it. But the best thing to do is to avoid it altogether. It's like a tick prevention. Just prevent it. So prevent it by teaching your dog not to go hang out with snakes. And there really are some pretty good classes out there to teach the dog. So sign up for some of those courses.
Yeah, I think snake aversion training. So I'll tell a funny story on myself. I was living in Nebraska at the time, and in Lincoln, Nebraska, they don't have rattlesnakes. Now, north of Nebraska, Kansas, yes, but right around Lincoln, where we worked with our dogs, we didn't have any rattlesnakes. And so I was going to a field test, like a hunting test for my dogs. in Wyoming. And I was striking off on my own with my two little puppies, and we trundled our way out to Wyoming. I can't remember, somewhere in Wyoming. I'm driving into the testing grounds, and I'm hearing all of this gunfire. Okay, so it's a field test. Like, they're supposed to be shooting guns, but not this much, right? And so I drive up to where the test is going to be run and say, what's all the shooting? Like, oh, we're just killing all the rattlesnakes on the course. And I'm like, okay, that's great. My puppies are not snake-proofed.
We're going home now.
No, we participated, but I was so anxious that every time they would act like they were going to go on point, you know, because I have pointing dogs, so they run far away from me and stand and point a bird. So there's a way they indicate, right? Their tail wags, they get a certain jiggity. And I was very nervous that if that didn't look like perfectly where they would have put a bird, I'd call them off of it because I was afraid they were trying to find a snake. So they didn't get very good scores that day.
Bet not.
Because every time they wanted to point something, I'm like, no, it's a snake. No.
Well, y'all came home alive, right?
We all did. We all did. So low scores versus alive dogs. I'm good with this.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
Okay, so what else? Spring allergies. Dogs get allergies just like some of us have hay fever. My poor mother, my sainted mother, was, terrible hay fever. So talk to us about what we can do for our dogs that maybe have a similar concept.
Sure. And there's a whole thing we can do on allergies. So I don't want to derail the whole conversation today other than to say you can use Benadryl, loratadine. Those are things you can get over the counter. They don't work especially well, but they're at least someplace to start. There's some really good products on the market for our dogs. We can use Apoquil. We can use Atopica. Mm-hmm. Those are both pills. We can use Cytopoint, which is an injection that's given every 3 to 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And prednisone, I still fall back on prednisone a lot because as much as I like Apoquil, Cytopoint, and Atopica, they can be pretty expensive drugs and it can be unaffordable, especially if you have a large breed dog and the dog has allergies that are not just a few weeks out of the year. So the main thing is if your dog is chewing their feet, scratching their ears, breaking out in rashes, runny eyes, runny nose, any of those things, that's probably allergies. So talk to your vet, get some medication. And when this happens, it's going to happen every year at the same time every year, just like the third week of May, we have no-see-ums. If your dog is allergic to certain kinds of pollen or molds, they're going to be out within a week or two every year. Like August and September is ragweed and goldenrod season, and it is ugly in the Midwest. Right. So 2 weeks before your dog is going to have an outbreak, get a hold of your vet, get your refills on your medications, and don't wait until their hair is falling out and they've scratched big holes in themselves from hot spots. Be preemptive. It's going to happen every year, folks. Don't act like, oh, I don't know how that happened, every year. So get your stuff together, go in, get your meds, get your refills, get whatever you need, and just be prepared for it. So we can do a whole allergy presentation, and I think we should, but I just want to make sure that people know that Benadryl isn't an anti-anxiety drug, and it's not meant for car sickness, and it's not meant for a lot of things. It's a good drug for allergies, but it doesn't work great in dogs. It's a nice thing to pull off if you need it before you can get into the vet, but every year, you know it's going to happen, so just plan ahead.
Right. I like that. Okay, so what else is in our spring tune-up kit?
Well, get yourself out there and get a little exercise first. Like I said at the beginning, don't just go out and think that the dog can follow you behind the lawnmower for 5 hours and then be able to move or go on the 5-hour hike without coming home sore. If you do have an older dog and they do have some arthritic changes, start them on their medications before you go on the hike. A day or two ahead of time, you probably know on the weekend that you're going to go. So again, get your refills on your medications, talk to your vets, get your carprofen or your Medicam or the injections of Librela or whatever happens to be your drug of choice for this. Get them on their meds.
Okay, so your meds need to be updated for your dog if it's got maybe a little ouchy joint, or you're going to go on a nice hike. You want to make sure that when you get home, they can have a little something, ease the pain.
Right. We have, so we get have ahead of the
grandkids joining us. It's amazing.
Yeah, we do. So you want to get ahead of this before you get into trouble. So don't wait until your dog is uncomfortable. Don't wait until you have to run in on emergency. Come over here and say hi, and then you can go. Say hi.
Hi.
Hi. Have fun fishing.
Not fishing for real.
Oh, no, he's not fishing for real. All right. Okay. Go find your mommy. So
that's perfect with the Grandma Life t-shirt. I just have to tell you, I'm just YouTube watchers.
Yeah, there you go. So get ahead of the pain. Don't let it get to be too bad. There's really great drugs on the market now that we have. Medicam, Carprofen, neither of those are terribly expensive if you can get them in tablet form if you have a bigger dog. Librela, another great product. It's an injectable that's given every 4 weeks that affects nerve growth factor. So there's some good products on the market. So just pay attention to your dog. And they don't have to cry to tell you that they're in pain. If they're not moving as much as they should, they're not getting up and moving, they're sore, they're stiff, they're having a hard time going up and down the stairs, getting out of the car, off the bed, on the furniture. Yeah, all the stuff. So again, you know, don't go out and overdo it. Make sure that you're gearing up for it. And then be really careful in hot weather. Of course, everybody knows that the weather is hot, but they forget sometimes how hot the asphalt is, or they just don't think about how hard it is on their dog's feet to go on a long walk on pavement or sand. So again, just be thoughtful about it. And, you know, we don't want any weekend warrior stuff to happen. So be smart about it. Get your meds, get your drugs, get your dog conditioned, take along water. They make those nice little drinking bottles that have a little tray that folds out so you can take water with you. Yep. So please don't go to the community water bowl at the dog park.
Oh, those are really gross. That's a really good little segue. We talked last week or earlier, anyway, this month, we talked about doing fun stuff with your dog and doing it safely. That's one we didn't mention. And I think it's a really good one. Avoid communal water bowls with your dogs. Yeah. They're just...
Well, there's so many diseases that they can transmit through saliva, kennel cough and hepatitis and lepto and all kinds of stuff. So just don't do it. Carry your own drinking bottle. Like I said, they have that little fold down thing that just folds into a tray. And it's a great way to be able to hydrate your dog and keep yourself hydrated, keep your dog hydrated. So just be thoughtful again about those things. Take a little snack along for your dog. If they tend to get a little tired or a little low glucose, you can give them caramels. You can take stuff that's easy to carry. So just, you know, again, be thoughtful, plan ahead, take your first aid kit. We've done a whole first aid kit show. So again, you know, the ultimate first aid kit show is available, and it's a great way to just make sure that all your stuff is with you, all your extra meds and the stuff you might need for bandaging material, or, you know, to pull the burdocks out of the dog's coat, or flush their eye if they get something in it. You know, just again, be thoughtful and plan ahead, because your dog will appreciate it and it will save you a lot of money. And you can't get into the emergency clinics even if you wanted to spend the money. So plan ahead.
There's that too. Okay. So one final thing that I think we should probably mention, we started on spiders and then we skittered off onto snakes. So back to spiders.
Of course.
Because, you know, I mean, come on. Spiders. Spider bites. How do you, like, say it's a spider bite, not a, you know, bee sting or stuff like that? Really, I think people kind of freak out anytime they see a bump. And so can we give them some tools to help with that?
It's pretty hard to tell those kinds of bites apart. And anything that breaks the skin can turn into a hot spot. So it can be a scratch from a brush. It can be a dog tooth that hit the dog at the dog park. It can be, like you said, spider bites, insect bites of any kind. Anything that breaks the skin can initiate those kind of lesions. So unless it's really nasty, you know, like clearly a brown recluse spider kind of nasty necrotic tissue, there really isn't much specifically that you can do. I love Domboro, and that's a really nice product for anything that's a wet hotspot. I know you're looking at me like, what is that?
Uh-oh.
So Domboro.
Marty has blown up my brain once again. I thought I knew all the hotspot stuff.
Great. It's called Domboro, Domboro. So you can buy it as an over-the-counter product. You don't need a prescription for it, but you have to ask for the pharmacy to hand it to you. It's behind the counter at the pharmacy without a prescription. And it's an astringent.
People pharmacy?
That, Yeah, human pharmacy.
Okay.
So you can go to Walmart or Walgreens or Target CVS or you know, Meijer or whoever, and you can ask for it. It comes in little packets, and you add that packet to a pint of water, and it's an astringent. So it'll dry out a hot spot. It'll dry out an insect bite. It'll dry out all the stuff that gets moist and
green. Do you put it in a spray bottle and just kind of spray on the ouchy spots?
Spray bottle, or you can put it in a squirt bottle for ears. It works fine on ears as well. And this is not a new product to the market. When I was a little kid, and I'm not a young person anymore, you know, when I was 8 years old, we used to use this stuff on swimmer's ear. So this stuff's been on the market 60 years or more. And it's a wonderful product. It's not always easy to find because you have to ask for it from the pharmacist. But it's a fabulous thing. It's easy to travel with. In fact, I found a package of it the other day. I was cleaning out a backpack. I'm like, oh, look at this. Don't borrow. Who knew? So it's a great little product to have around. You just add tap water to it, and you can use it for anything that you need to dry out. So just don't put it in the eye. Anywhere else you can use it.
Right.
And then one of the other things that works really well, and I'm sure you know about, is silver honey.
Yes, silver honey. And then I have one too. So you do silver honey, and then I'll do mine.
Sure. So Domboro you want to use if you're trying to dry something out, if it's moist and gooey and gross and you don't want it to be like an ear or a hot spot. If it's a laceration or a wound, a bug bite, anything like that, silver honey works great. It's a combination of silver sulfadiazine, which is a burn product, and Manuka honey. You can get it through Amazon. You can get it through Revival. You don't need to have a prescription for it again. Just straight up silver sulfadiazine does require a prescription. And unless you're allergic to sulfonamides, which is an antibiotic, it's safe to use, again, any place except the eye. So what do you have?
Hot spots. My favorite hot spot treatment, the easiest one that is like, you know, this hot spot's turned up and I'm about to go in a show ring, and they do that. They just like, hi.
Yep.
Some of my briefs. I always have on hand the original orange bottle medicated gold bond powder. Always.
Yep.
Always.
Yep.
And I can put that into a hot spot and it will fix it up right away. So Domboro, gold bond powder, silver honey, and some Benadryl. That'll get us through the spring.
And some bandaging material, because you just never know when they're going to hit a fence or whatever. So carry a roll of gauze and a package of vet wrap with you, because vet wrap is good for sprained wrists if it's you.
That wrap is everything.
Sprained ankles on your toe. Yeah, it's great stuff. So, you know, just be organized.
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, if you've got vet wrap and a poop bag, you can do almost anything.
Well, there is one thing I need to mention, and that's Saran wrap.
Saran wrap will... Poop bags.
Well, yeah, but Saran wrap will do things for wounds and some other places that you may not even think about. So, you know, carry a fork with you, because if your dog gets burdocks in their coat, a fork does a great job of helping you to dislodge them. And, you know, forks, like everybody has a fork of some kind, you can just use a plastic one. So, you know, you just have to be a little bit creative with some of the solutions for things.
Spring creativity is here.
Yep. Pack your little first aid backpack, take it with you when you're, you know, if you're that outdoorsy person, which I think is fabulous.
Yep.
Just don't be out in the boonies and not have some way to get a hold of somebody. And I'm just going to throw something in here, which I know we're not supposed to say, but air tags, if you're out on a hike, air tags are the bomb to keep track of where your dog is. I know Apple does not want you to use an air tag on your dog. They do make tracking collars. There's a lot of other devices that are on the market, but air tags are $25 and you can buy a dog tag for it, put it on your dog, and then with your Apple phone or your, if you want to use a Tile for your Google phone, whatever. But those are really handy to have if you're off at the dog park or off on a hike and your dog has a tendency to wander out a bit. It's a very effective way to be able to track where your dog is. So don't tell Apple I said that, because I don't want them to come and get me.
Don't tell anybody.
Don't tell Apple.
All right. Well, thanks, you guys. Since Marty and I have been spending so much time on the road, next week we're going to talk about taking your pet on your summer vacation and travel tips for you and your pet. So stay tuned for that one.
Yep.
All right, Marty. Thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are. In the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.